invite you to take your Bibles this morning and turn to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24, and you can start out in verse 32 is where we're going to begin, but we'll be covering a larger portion this morning. So Matthew 24, 32 is where you can start out. As I said last week, we are talking about the topic of the end times, because Matthew 24 and 25 are all about the end times, and that's where we are as we've been working through the Gospel of Matthew. And now we're here in the second half of Matthew 24. So have you ever said to someone, "Are you ready yet?" Now, maybe for some guys, you might say, "I feel like I say that all the time to someone I know," or even the ladies here, you might be the one who feels that way. Don't nudge the person next to you. You're going to get in trouble. But I know for me, I have to say, "Are you ready yet?" to my children all the time, because, you know, we're trying to get out the door on time. And so I have to see, like, are your shoes on? Did you use the bathroom? And all that needed to get out the door. And so we say these things to check, or like, are we prepared? Are we ready, right? So imagine if you had to go on a 3-mile hike, you would say, "Are you ready yet? Are we ready yet? Do we have what we need? Are we prepared for what we are about to go out and do?" Because you got to be ready. Well, in this large portion that we're going to look at this morning, it's like Jesus is asking every single one of us, "Are you ready? Are you ready?" It's interesting that when it comes to the end times, we are all about what is going to happen and when. But did you notice how much little emphasis we put on thinking, "Am I ready? Am I prepared?" You know, we like our massive charts and we like to know, okay, you know, this is going to happen and this is kind of the general time of when. But how often do we think, "Am I ready for Christ's return?" Because you notice the next time someone talks to you about the end times, the next time you see a video, the article, a blog about the end times, notice what it's about. Most likely it will be about the timeline or the signs, but how little you see about, do they call you to steady faithfulness? Do they do that? Do they call you to that? Do they talk about preparing for Christ's coming? You know, all I did this week was type in end times into the search bar of YouTube, and I want you to just listen to the title and descriptions of some of the videos that first came up. One was titled, "The Antichrist Was Just Revealed to the World." There was one about a spooky end times prophecy, another about how strange people are coming. There are multiple videos saying that the Bible prophecies are happening now, even some pointing out that terrifying biblical prophecy is being fulfilled. Another one was asking, "Is 2053 the end of the world?" I'm not sure why they said that exact one, though I didn't watch it. But finally, one says, "Stay home if you ever see this." Like, these are the most popular and most watched videos about the end times that people are seeing. Did you see the emphasis? It's solely on what is happening. And many of them cause you to live in fear. I mean, how else are you supposed to respond to some of those? Like, how are you supposed to respond when you say, "The Antichrist was just revealed. There's something spooky. Strange people are arriving. Wondering if a certain year is the end of the world and to stay home." Like, how are you supposed to respond to that? But what's really significant is the amount of time that Jesus speaks about being prepared when he talks about the end times. I mean, the whole second half of Matthew 24, pretty much to all of Matthew 25, is saying, "Are you prepared for the second coming?" Right? And so the first half of Matthew 24 was, of course, the signs and this is what's going to happen. But really, then, a chapter and a half is, "Are you prepared?" And yet, so little of this preparation is talked about when we look at these videos, when we talk about these things, when you see things written about them. Right? So little. Just think about it. You don't see many popular videos saying, "Be faithful as you await Christ's return." Right? But some of the videos that I just mentioned had over 1 million views. Right? It's because simple faithfulness doesn't seem thrilling, right? It doesn't seem enticing. But mention that strange people are arriving, right? And people go crazy, right? Spooky times, spooky end times prophecy, and people are raving about it. And yet what Jesus wants to do is get us prepared and ready. And so you see an emphasis from him about the end times is preparation. And so that's also what we should talk about when we talk about the end times, is that simple faithfulness. But before we get there, Jesus gives a couple more characteristics of his return in a couple of these verses. Look there at verse 32 as I begin reading. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts out its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see all these things, you know that he is near at the very gates. Truly, I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. So Jesus gives this illustration of a fig tree, and he relates it to his return. And so a fig tree's tender branch and leaves signify to someone, okay, summer is near, summer is on its way. And so Jesus is saying, so also these signs that he just talked about are signifying that he is near. He's sort of at the very gates. His return is imminent, right? And so he's not saying necessarily that they're going to happen immediately after these signs, but that his coming is near, could happen at any moment. And he reassures them that his words will come true. He will return. And so we see that his return is imminent and certain. He's showing that it's imminent and certain. I think about even in the book of James, as early as that was written, the book of James even says, "Behold, the judge is standing at the door." The writers of the New Testament even knew that they were living at a time where Jesus could come back at any moment, that his return was imminent in that sense. And so every generation of Christians since then has been led to faithfully live for Christ, living as though he could return at any time, because he showed that his return is imminent, could happen. He is near. The sight of the signs meant he's near. We can trust also that his return is certain. I think about some people, they doubt if Jesus will return. They are like the people that Peter talks about who scoff and say, "Where is the promise of Jesus' coming?" But Jesus is pushing us to see his return is certain because his words are certain. Right? When we look around us, we think that the world and the universe are the most stable things that there are. Right? But Jesus is pointing us to something even more stable, more secure, more certain. Right? Because he even says there, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. So the things that you think are the most stable are going to pass away someday, because there's going to be a renewed heaven and new renewed earth. But his words are more stable and certain than even the universe itself. And that means we can count on his return happening. We can know his return is certain. He is definitely coming back again. Think of the most certain thing that you can even think of outside of God, of course. Now know his words blow any of that out of the water in certainty. You can cling to his word. You don't have to regret it. You can hold tightly to his word and hope in it. Amidst an ever-changing, uncertain world, you can trust the never-changing, certain word of Christ. Right? That's what he's showing us. And so I want you to think, do you act like he is definitely, without a shadow of a doubt, returning? Like, is that in your mind? Do you live like, without question, Jesus is coming back? Because it goes back to, do you trust his word? Because he said his words will not fail. Do you believe his words will not pass away? His return is imminent, it is certain, and so we should not move away from these points because they will affect how you live. right? And so that's why Jesus goes on to talk about people who are ready for his return and people who are not ready for his return. It all goes back to, do you trust what Jesus says about his return? Do you trust it? Do you trust that he is coming back? That it is imminent? Because that is the difference between people who are ready and people who are not. So as I continue reading, listen to the contrast between people who are ready and people who are not. Look there at Matthew 24, starting in verse 36. But concerning that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only. For as were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day when Noah entered the ark. And they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away. So will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two men will be in the field, one will be taken and one left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and one left. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom his master has set over his household to give them their food at the proper time? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will set him over all his possessions. But if that wicked servant says to himself, my master is delayed, and begins to beat his fellow servants and eats and drinks with drunkards, the master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, in an hour he does not know, and will cut him in pieces and put him with the hypocrites in that place that will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. But the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, then all became drowsy and slept. But at midnight there was a cry, here is the bridegroom, come out to meet him. Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, since there will not be enough for us and for you, go rather to the dealers and buy for yourselves. And while they were going to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered, truly I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. A main point that Jesus is spotlighting is that his return will be at an unknown time. He makes that ultra clear. It will come at an unknown time. So it's interesting because he just showed us, hey, there's going to be signs, and you're going to know the general time of when he's going to return. But now he says you're not going to know the specific time of his return. You're not going to know the day or the hour. You're not going to know the actual day or date of his return. It is unknown. He says that essentially no one knows. Not the angels, not even him at that point, but the Father only. It's interesting how there have been people throughout history who have claimed to know the exact date of Jesus' return. But interestingly, they are going directly against Scripture, aren't they? Jesus says no one knows but the Father. If even Jesus, as he was living on earth, didn't know, who are people to claim that they know? That they can say, oh, it's going to be this day, this, or even this year. Ignore the date setters. Ignore them. They're completely wrong. And I would say they are deceivers and liars because they are going directly against Scripture, directly against the words of Christ. His date of return is unknown. I think of the game, if you remember, the game Hot Potato, and you keep passing the ball down the line until the music stops. And no one knows when it's going to stop. That's the sort of idea. It's like Jesus' return is no one knows, right? And so they don't know when it will be. But you need to be ready, right? And so you can't be caught off guard. And so Jesus explains that some people won't be ready because it's going to be like the days of Noah. And so he explains and makes this connection between the days of Noah and the days of his return. And so he points out, like in the days of Noah, they were just kind of, they're eating and drinking and they're marrying and giving in marriage until the day when Noah entered the ark, and they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away. And so he's saying that's how it's going to be when he returns. He's showing us there are going to be, it's going to be a time where many people, for many people, they're not going to be ready at all. That's what he's saying. There's going to be people who are unaware. They're absolutely not ready that he will return. They act like nothing's going to happen, right? That's how the people of days of Noah, nothing's going to happen. That Noah guy is crazy. Nothing's going to happen. And they're just living their life normally. They're all focused on just the day-to-day life. And that's how it's going to be. It's interesting that Jesus here doesn't point out any evil activities. Now, of course, Noah's day was evil. But here, he doesn't point out evil activities. What does he point out? These are normal life activities. You know, eating and drinking, getting married, right? They're normal activities. But the problem is these people are doing them unaware of Christ's return. They're living life without any thought to the Lord or that he's going to return. And this is like many, many people. Many, many people in our day, especially in our country, they act like absolutely nothing's going to happen. They're only concerned with the normal day-to-day life, day-to-day activities of life. And so often they're more concerned with the peripheral things, right? Sports and hobbies and food and travel and possessions than anything to do with God. And the coming of Christ is the last thing on their mind because they're so focused on their next thing on the to-do list, their next thing on their bucket list. But to-do lists and bucket lists will not prepare you for Christ's return. You must be concerned with the state of your soul. You know, we can't be so consumed and so concerned with just the normal life activities that we do not take into account that Christ is coming back. Because he says, while people are just doing normal tasks, Christ's going to return. It's going to be sudden. One person taken, one person left, one facing judgment, one experiencing salvation. Like, do you act like nothing's going to happen? Do you act like nothing's going to happen and just kind of focus on your day-to-day life, regular activities? Are you ready? Are you expectant for Christ's return like Noah was with the flood? He was ready. He was prepared. He was expectant that the flood was going to happen. And that's how we are to be when it comes to Christ's return. And so that's why Jesus goes on to say, you need to be like a homeowner ready for a thief, because his return will be like a thief. You don't know when it will happen, but you have to be prepared. You have to be ready. But notice another thing that comes out of these illustrations is that for some people, they expect Jesus come later than he will. They expect he will come later than he will. Now, these people are a little bit different than Noah's day, right? The people of Noah's day acted like absolutely nothing would happen, right? But these people know Christ will return, but they think they have plenty of time. See, that's the difference. And you see that in verses 45 to 51. Jesus gives this example of the faithful wise servant and the wicked servant. And that is the difference. You see the faithful, wise servant, and he is just faithfully doing his job no matter what, and the master return and find him doing faithfully the job that he was tasked to do, right? But what is the difference with the wicked servant? He's saying, oh, my master's delayed. And so he starts to live wickedly, right? He gets drunk and he's beating servants and things like that. And so Jesus says, this wicked servant, essentially, he's going to be caught off guard because the master's going to return earlier than expected and deal out judgment. And so you see, what is the problem with the wicked servant? The problem, he thought in his mind, I've got time. I've got time. He thought the master wouldn't be returning for a long, long time, and so you might as well live it up now, and then later on he might get his act together, get things straightened out, and be okay. But sadly, this is what will happen to many people, is sadly they grow up hearing that Jesus will return, but they think that they have tons of time before that will happen. And so what do? They live for self, they neglect what God has called them to do, and they will face judgment when Christ returns. You see, many people put off the things of God. They put off trusting in Jesus. They put off following Him. I think of many even young people think, I've got time. I got the rest of my life ahead of me. You know, I'll just live it up now, and then when I'm older, you know, I'll get that whole Christianity thing and Christ thing figured out, and I'll be okay. But you do not know when Christ will return. And with this is in the text, but you don't know when you will die either, right? And so they're both at play. Will you find yourself like the wicked servant caught off guard by Jesus' return? This is not some small deal. Like, this is a big deal, right? This is your eternity. Like, did you notice the result, the consequences for the wicked servant? He's thrown into a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is none other than hell. Eternal torment, Jesus is talking about. And so do not delay getting right with God through faith in Jesus Christ. And when you truly trust Him, the Holy Spirit works in you to want to live for Him and then faithfully live out what He has called you to do. And so we see here in these stories, these examples, illustrations, that some will think He will come later than He will, but we also see some people, they think that He will come sooner than He will. If you see there in the Matthew 25, 1 to 13, the parable of the 10 virgins, and these virgins are probably what we would today call bridesmaids. Now, they're not the exact equivalent, but think of that idea, right? And they had, back in that day, an important role, this certain role. And in that day, the groom would actually come to the bride's house and then bring her back to his house for a great feast. Well, as he's bringing her back, like bridesmaids and the virgins would be with them with these lamps, and they were sort of light the way because it would be evening. And so they had this important being part of being sort of in this processional, right, of this wedding. And so that was their role, and that's sort of the context that we find this story in. And so we have five wise virgins, five foolish, and the wise are prepared with oil. The foolish bring none, right? And so what happens is they have to wait a long time for the bridegroom to come. And talking about sort of like the idea of Jesus' return, it's apparently a delay, right? And we've seen a delay, right? 2,000 years. And so the wise are prepared. The foolish have to run and get more when He comes. They're not prepared, right? And so eventually they go off and they get more oil, but it's too late. The door's shut, and they're not allowed to enter. The reason, He says, I don't know you. I don't know you. And so, obviously, this is pointing to something deeper, isn't it? It's pointing to something, a spiritual truth, as parables do. And I want you to think about the main difference between the wise and foolish virgins. What is the main difference? It's the oil, isn't it? It is being prepared with the oil. Right? So one group's prepared, the other isn't prepared, but they bring none. And so it appears that the oil is picturing something important, right? And so most likely it's pointing to something, to the fact of salvation or being changed by grace or the Holy Spirit, many people say. But either way, it's something to do with your salvation, your eternity, right? Knowing Christ. You see, the wise ones, they made sure they were prepared. They made sure they were right with God, trusting in Jesus Christ alone to be saved and forgiven before He returned. But here's the thing, the other group, they looked the part, didn't they? They looked the part, but they never had any oil. That was the difference. They never had any oil. They never made preparations for their soul, And when Christ returns, they are found with nothing. And here's the thing. It's pointing to, once he returns, it's too late. You see that in the parable. It's too late. The door's shut. They weren't prepared when the time came. They aren't allowed to enter in. They looked like they belonged to the wedding party, but their groom says, I don't know you. You don't belong. That's what he's saying. You don't belong in the wedding party. You look the part, but you actually aren't. And so this shows this important truth that there will be many people who claim to be Christians. They look like they belong, but they are not. And Jesus is going to say someday, I do not know you. What horrific words to hear from the lips of Jesus. And so we see what matters is not that you look the part. It's whether you truly know Christ and He knows you in relationship. In a faith relationship where you trust in Him alone. That's what matters. Whether you have personally placed your faith in Him and what He did on the cross. And so if you are unprepared, if you do not turn to Christ to be saved, you cannot think, oh, it will just work out in the end. You cannot think that way. You have to turn to Christ, be saved. It's not what you wear, your Christian lingo, your Christian family's heritage, that makes you ready for Christ's return. It's whether do you have oil in the lamp. That is whether grace has actually changed you. Through faith, that you have the Holy Spirit. And there may be some listening today, and you are like one of those foolish ones. You have never actually, never truly repented of your sins and turned in faith to Jesus Christ alone for salvation. And you may even look good. You may even look like you belong as a Christian, as a believer, but you don't. And Christ knows the truth. Christ knows your heart, and Christ will reveal that in the end. And there will be a day, this passage is showing us, there will be a day where it will be too late. And so Jesus is showing us you have to be ready. You have to make preparations. And the oil, that is faith in the Spirit, cannot be simply transferred, right? Did you notice? They're like, please give us some oil. And they're like, no, we can't. We're going to ruin the wedding, essentially. That's the idea. They're going to ruin the wedding if none of us has enough oil. There will be no good procession. We won't be able to see in the dark, right? And so they can't just simply be transferred. It has to be this personal trust in Jesus Christ alone. You cannot delay because he says, you know neither the day nor the hour. You don't know when he will come. If it will be longer than you think or shorter than you think, you don't know that. You know, I think about when sometimes you play hide and seek and the person who is counting says, ready or not, here I come. Well, there will be a day when Christ returns and there will be a time where it's, if you're ready or not, he's coming. Ready or not, he is coming. And so what must we do in light of this impending return at an unknown time? What are we to do? And Jesus, throughout these passages, shows us, watch and be prepared for his coming. Watch and be prepared. As you read through these stories, you see the idea of be alert, be awake, watch, be prepared. All of these ideas come out as he commands us and instructs us to watch and be prepared. You know, there's a lot of deer hunters in the room, and if you're sitting in a deer stand, you know this reality of you have to be watch, right? You have to be alert. You have to be ready, right? Your eyes have to be looking around. Your gun has to be loaded, and you have to be alert to the sights and the sounds around you, because if you're caught off guard, you're going to miss the opportunity, right? And it's that kind of watchfulness, alertness, readiness that Jesus is emphasizing in these stories. And so you think about what is the opposite of the opposite of course, is caught unaware, unprepared, lazy, not ready, asleep, right? That's sort of the opposite. And so as we see, some don't think that Christ will return. Some think they got time. And then some think they were not prepared for that longer delay. But we must watch. We must be prepared for the coming of Christ. We must be ready like that homeowner, ready for the thief to try to come in, right? To break in at any moment. We must continue being faithful like the wise servant, right? Just faithfully doing his duty, not knowing when his master will return, but just faithfully doing it. And we must be prepared like a virgin with oil in our lamp, awaiting the bridegroom's arrival. And so I think we all know what it means to be alert, prepared, and watchful in earthly life, right? Sort of like that guy in the deer stand, right? That's what it means to be alert and watchful. Sort of like a guard on standby and ready to look for any danger. And that's sort of the idea. But what does it mean, right, when we apply it spiritually, right? Because that's the thing. It's okay, I know what this means, you know, in the earthly side of things. But what does it mean in the life of faith? And I found some other passages that were really helpful, at least for me, to understand what Jesus is getting at here with being watchful and ready. And I wanted to share some with you. But I think about Luke's account of this, right? And so a parallel account in Luke. I want you to listen to what Jesus says, because he brings out some more details. He says this, "But watch yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and cares of this life. And that day come upon you suddenly like a trap, for it will come upon all who dwell on the face of the earth. But stay awake at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are going to take place and to stand before the Son of Man." And so we see here, what is the opposite of being alert and watchful? What's the opposite? Being weighed down by drunkenness and the cares of this world. That's what he says. It's the idea of someone who is just living for the here and now, right? Just living for the here and now, distracted by the cares of this life. And, you know, there are so many people just weighed down and distracted by the things of this world. They live for the here and now only, and they are numb to the thought that the Lord is coming back. And I think about, you know, there's temptations from the world is trying to pull us away from faithfulness. They're trying to cause us to believe that all that really matters is the here and now and this earthly life. And that's what they try to tempt us with. And so many people think that life is just all about status and money and possessions and thrills and experiences and adventures. And they are consumed. Distracted, concerned, consumed with the things and the cares of this life. But as a Christian, your life cannot only be about the here and now. It cannot be only about the here and now. Your life cannot only be about the next thrill and the next experience and the next vacation and the next possession and the next paycheck and the next girlfriend and boyfriend, whatever it may be. You need to start looking at your life through the lens and perspective of eternity, through the lens and perspective of Christ's imminent and certain return. Because you need to realize and help yourself to remember Christ is coming back. Christ is coming back, and so what am I all about? Think about it. What are you all about? Is it only about just the here and now and just being happy and fun right now and living up for it today? Or is it bigger, more eternal perspective? He is coming again someday. Will he find you faithful? Or will he find you off just kind of living for yourself, just doing your own thing without any regard for him? And according to Luke's account, what is the way to be watchful? Did you notice that? What is the way to be watchful? He says prayer. That helps you to be watchful. Because in prayer, you're depending on God. You're looking to God. and you're not taken up and consumed with the concerns of this world, but what are you doing? You're casting them, casting your cares on the Lord, right, in prayer, right? And so you're not consumed with the lifestyle that the world is calling you to, but you're looking to God through it all. And then one more passage that helped me to see more about what it means to be watchful and alert is in 1 Thessalonians 5. Paul is talking about the coming of the Lord, and he talks about the same ideas. He's going to come like a thief and things like that. And he shows us that Christ's coming really shouldn't surprise us, right? We're people of the light, of the day, and children of the light, and so we do not sleep like others. But listen to what he says. He says this, since we belong to the day, let us be sober, right? So the idea of watchful, alert, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. So you see that. How can we be sober and watchful and alert? What is he saying? Arm yourselves with faith, hope, and love. Right? That's what he's showing us. Being watchful and ready for Christ's return isn't some complex thing. Right? It isn't something that only the spiritual mature elites can do. Right? No, it is not some hard to understand, hard to do task. Get this. It is everyday Christianity. It is simple, everyday faithfulness. That's what it is. That is how you are alert and watchful and ready, is simple, everyday faithfulness, looking to Christ, looking to His Word, clinging to Him in faith and hope and loving Him above all. That is what it means to be watchful. We are on guard against sin. We're trusting Him, putting our hope in Him. We love Him above all, and we extinguish the flaming darts of the evil one with steadfast faith. And so to be asleep spiritually, to be not alert spiritually, is to be apathetic to the things of God and to live only for yourself and what you want. But to be watchful and alert spiritually is to stand strong in faith, hold on to hope, and love Christ in His appearing. You see, the way the second coming watchfulness is foundationally a trust in, a hope in, and a love of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is what it is foundationally. Because how you think about Jesus is how it will affect your life. How you think about Jesus will affect your life. And your true spiritual nature will be revealed in how you live. As you're awaiting Christ's return, how you live is going to reveal your true spiritual nature. And so you see the wise servant. Why was he faithful? Because ultimately he wanted to please his master. And so he was ready. He was faithful. Hey, the master couldn't come back today. Next day goes by, he could come back today. I'm going to be faithful. I love him, and I want to serve him, and I want to be found faithful. And see the difference? He wanted to please his master. The wise virgins, they wanted to please the bridegroom, so they desired, hey, we're going to be ready. We're going to prepare. We're going to have our oil ready so that we can go along in the procession and help light the way and prepared for his arrival. They were ready. But you see, the other ones were, of course, not ready. I have more time, the wicked guys thought. The ones who were unprepared probably thought, oh, he might come right away, so why prepare, right? And so they weren't ready. And he says, I do not know you, to the foolish ones. And so we see this passage teaches us we need to be ready. Christ is coming. Not working. But the idea is, be ready, Christ is coming at an unknown time. That's the main point. Be ready, Christ is coming at an unknown time. One commentary I read gave this illustration that I thought was really good. And it says this, many years ago, while traveling out of town, a businessman attended a Sunday morning worship service at a large church in Texas. As is customary during most church service, a portion of the time was devoted to important announcements, which the pastor stood up to deliver. One of the announcements was in regard to the sermon topic of that evening's worship service. And the sermon title was Jesus is Coming. Its focus would be on Jesus' return and the need for Christians to be ready for this event. As the pastor wound up his invitation to attend the evening service, he quickly concluded by adding, "Remember, Jesus is coming at 7 o'clock this evening." Immediately, chuckles could be heard across the large sanctuary, and the pastor, after realizing how a statement must have sounded to some of his listeners, simply smiled and moved on. But although humorous, his statement was somewhat of a stopper for the businessman, because he found himself visualizing the possibility of seeing Jesus that evening. And so the pastor's unintended remark made solid contact with the visitor. It's a question we all do well to ask. Am I ready? Are you ready? That is what the text this morning has really pushed us to ask of ourselves, to pry down deep into our heart, into our thoughts, into our motives, into our thinking. Am I prepared for Christ to return? Am I ready? Like, will you keep putting off repentance, thinking, I've got time? Or will you turn to Jesus and be saved? Will you be found lazy, acting wickedly and unprepared? Or will you be found faithful, like that faithful, wise servant? Don't be thinking all about the wasted time in the past, but think now. What can I do now? How can I live differently now? How can I live for Christ faithfully now going forward? Am I going to be ready? Am I going to be prepared? And we do that by looking to Christ, loving His appearing, faithfully serving Him, so that with joy we may say someday, here is the Bridegroom. And what a blessing you will experience, because He told us, blessed is that servant when his master will, whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we certainly are so consumed often with the here and now. Lord, we are so weighed down by the cares of this life. Lord, there's a lot of things on our hearts and minds this morning, I'm sure. For each of us, we have our own trials, our own things, but I pray that you would use your word to get us outside of that, to help us to see the broader, bigger picture of Christ's return. Lord, we don't know when He will return. Only You do. And so I pray that we would be ready, that we would look at our lives with the perspective and lens of eternity, this perspective and lens that Christ is coming back soon and at any moment. And so I pray that You would help us. I pray that we wouldn't live in fear, though. Lord, Your word is not meant to lead us only to fear, but it's meant to lead us to faith and hope and love. And so I pray that we would look to You through it all, and to look to Christ, to love His appearing, and to say, come, Lord Jesus. May that be our hope today. In Christ's name, amen.
Thank you so much for listening. We pray that you were encouraged by the sermon today. This sermon was preached at First Baptist Church of Clearfield, Pennsylvania. If you'd like more information about our church, you can visit our website at fbcclearfield.com. May God grant you grace and peace as you look to Him today.